All right, great singing again this week. I hope you got a blessing from that. Hope it was an encouragement to you. I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of Jude. We're not going to get there for another probably close to 10 minutes, but might as well take some time and try and find it. The book of Jude, it's one chapter way in the back of your Bible. I have the privilege of trying to talk to you about something that has yet to happen, but as if it has happened. So, ladies, I hope you had a good time yesterday at our drive-through. Hope you got a blessing. I guarantee it was memorable. I'm not quite sure how it's all going to turn out. We're excited about it. I hope the kids had a good time with the treats and dads. Congratulations to whoever won that competition. And can't wait to see how the pictures turned out. So with all that, I can speak about that. We are so thankful for our mothers. We are so thankful for those. If in your life, my mom passed away a good number of years ago now, 2001. But I think much my story, very similar to so many of yours, is that you are a lot of who you are is because of the faith and the strength of your mother. So I am thankful for my mom, thankful for Sarah and the impact she makes on our children, definitely the better half of the team. So thank you, moms out there that love sacrificially, give unconditionally, and so we are really thankful for that. I do want to apologize before we start our message here this morning. I do not have a Mother's Day message for you today. We're going to be talking about faith a bit, and I hope you can take some encouragement and help with it. We're going to be talking about a little bit deeper things of the scriptures this morning. Say, that was an oversight on your part. Maybe so, but I am doing what I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart for today. So we'll go forward with that. Let's pray, and then we'll continue in our message here today. Lord, again, we need you. We're thankful for the opportunity to be able to open up your word and proclaim it as loud and as confidently as we can. Lord, I'm thankful for these that are here again and that put so much effort and work and into serving you, and I'm thankful for that. Lord, I pray you bless them. But God, I pray that you'd use this message and speak to our hearts. Lord, I need to hear from you exactly what you want me to say. Lord, hold my tongue that I might not say anything out of line or foolish. Lord, I would speak in no way in the flesh, but Lord, completely and totally led by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that, again, you'd be honored and glorified with all that we say and do here today. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, to serve the Lord is an incredible opportunity, and we are thankful for any opportunity he gives us. And when we join the Lord in his work, we come to a deep realization of this truth. If God doesn't help you, you will fail. That is the work of God. See, if we are to do our own work, well, we will succeed. But if we are to desire to do the work of God, the thing that we need most is God himself. That in ourselves, the work of God cannot be accomplished. And sometimes we fail to remember that. Sometimes as we endeavor to serve God, we come up with our great ideas and our own strength, and then we are reminded of how limited we are. And the Lord has great things for each and every one of us. Is this an inspirational message of trying to be everything that God has for us and to dream big? Well, yeah, a little bit. I have an illustration this morning, if I could. Balloons. Balloons are great fun. Balloons are a point of celebration. I don't know. I think we might have some balloons for later. We'll have to check the wind currents to see if we will be putting them out. But balloons. We have these at parties, birthday parties. You'll see a balloon show up. My kids constantly, when we have balloons, they, after the party, will play a game that is similar to volleyball and tennis with the balloon. No net needed. Just keep the balloon up in the air, spiking it, smashing it, and having a good time. Balloons are fun because you can play them inside with very little damage. Our life is kind of like this balloon. Say, how so? Well, in ourselves, we're kind of like this balloon. We feel buoyant. We can withstand some pressure. But the difficulty becomes in our false sense of security. Say, how so? Well, when faced with a trial, sometimes we don't stand to the task. You know, when our life is presented with a difficulty, what happens? If I were to take this trial and apply it to this balloon, what would happen? It would explode. It would pop. I hope I blew it up tight enough. I hope the pin will... I didn't test this out ahead of time, but we do know what will happen. And you know what? I was thinking about this past week. That's kind of what happened in our life over the last couple months. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about that maybe we had a sense of security that wasn't as strong as we thought. And we are faced with a trial. And what happened? Popped. Maybe our life popped. And our sense of securities fell away. Say, what do you mean? It's been a while since some of you have been in church. I get the privilege of coming through these halls maybe still five times, six times a week. But it's been a while since we've sat in your chair. And you've come to the realization that maybe my faith wasn't as strong as I thought. Maybe my sense of security wasn't as strong as I thought, because when faced with a trial, it did not withstand. See, when you join the Lord in His work, we'll have to come to the deep realization that if God doesn't help you, you will fail. And I just wonder how many of us are sitting at home this morning thinking, maybe my faith wasn't as strong as I thought it was. Maybe you're at a crisis point in your life. And can I tell you, many of people find themselves at that very same crisis point, and you know what they choose? They choose not to follow the Lord Jesus Christ because they're tired of the trials. They're tired of their balloon popping. They're tired of being revealed that they are insecure and not as strong, and their faith isn't as strong as they make it out to be. They're tired of being proven. You have to remember this. God is working around you. Whether you acknowledge it or not, God is working around you, and He desires to have a real relationship with you. God wants you to be involved in what He is doing, not us. Not God involved in what we are doing. God wants us to be involved in what He is doing. And God does still speak to us. He uses His word. I believe Pastor Seatman is going to be talking about that later on. Prayer. He uses circumstances to get our attention. And maybe one of those trials has popped your life. Exploded. So that's a scary thing. You must decide what you believe about God. How you live your life is a testimony of what you believe about God. You don't have to tell me what you believe. You don't have to tell God what you believe. You don't have to tell your neighbors what you believe. You don't even have to tell your children what you believe. You don't have to tell your parents what you believe. It is known by what you do. When God tells you that He wants to work through you, you will face a question of your belief. This will be a turning point in your faith. We've seen it many times in scriptures. We saw it with Joshua and Jericho. Joshua, I want you to go and I want you to surround the city and I want you to do it like this. You know what? His sense of security. Why? He was a fighter. He was an army. He was a captain. That was his security. And God says, I have a way. So Joshua had to ask himself the question, who do I believe? Do I trust in myself or do I trust in God? To which the same question is placed before you today. Are you going to trust in your securities or are you going to trust in the Lord? I promise you, if you trust in your securities, you will fail. Gideon had an army and it got all the way down to 300 men. Why would God use a man like Gideon and a fearful man and only 300 people? Why would he do such a thing? Because it was a turning point in Gideon's faith that he believed God. David and the Philistines. Young boy comes up against the army of the Philistines with a sling and 5 smooth stones. And he took them all down because he trusted in God. Faith is always in a person, in God himself. To which now we find ourselves in Jude chapter 1. Jude chapter 1 and verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. We're going to come back to that verse, but I want you to not lose sight of that. I want you to not forget about that. I want you to contend for the faith. I want you to think about what your role is in contending for the faith. I've been doing a lot of thinking this past week. I've had extra time to do that. What have we learned? Well, maybe much like the balloon versus the trial, that our relationship with the Lord wasn't as deep and as secure as we thought. Maybe we based a lot of our relationship with God on this room right here. And when this room got taken away, I wonder what happened. What happened in your life? This room is evidence of the relationship with God. This is a place to be able to exercise that and worship together. I am not belittling church in any way. I think it is, listen now, I think church is essential. We're working on hard and proving that to our government. But even more so than church is a relationship with God himself. And all too often we equate the church house with a relationship with God. Now, it certainly is a place to hear from him and where he can talk to us and we can make godly decisions. And it is a strengthening place, an encouraging place. The people of God are the greatest people in the world. Don't get me wrong. Let's not belittle church in any way. But church is not a substitute for our relationship with our Savior. So what have we learned? Well, maybe our relationship with the Lord wasn't as deep as we thought. Number two, maybe it revealed a little bit more about ourselves than what we were willing to see. Wasn't prepared for that. The Bible warns us that we'd not deceive ourselves. Sometimes in dealing with even young people or children, they have a sense of what is true, but they've kind of lied to themselves and deceived themselves. You're working on things that are not necessarily true. I just wonder if we've deceived ourselves into thinking that we were something that we weren't or something that we're not. I promise you the message will come around at the end and be an encouragement, but I want you to think about some things. I want you to think about your life meeting the trial and what has happened. I was thinking a lot about our state of Christianity. And the things that we're faced with right now on the horizon of Christianity today, quite honestly, I've never experienced anything like it. And I came to this thought or this remembrance or this reminder, if you will, that much of my faith, much of my victories in my faith, I'm living off previous generations. Generations that have gone on before that have fought for some things and proven some things. We have a Christian school. It was pretty easy to open a Christian school. Why? Because some people went through the battle of fighting for Christian schools. I hold the Word of God in my hands. And all too often we take the Word of God for granted. But there are some men that gave up their life and had to sacrifice quite a bit that I could hold this today. There are some men and women, in a couple weeks it will be Memorial Day. There are some men and women that have given up their life that we could have the freedoms and the liberties that we have. I have not had to experience anything like that. And I came to the sad realization that much of my Christianity is living off the victories of the previous generations. Much of the victories that we enjoy and much of the blessings are because some others that have taken some steps of faith. And we have had the blessing of knowing little to, if any, persecution. The persecution I get is when I go to someone's door with a gospel tract and they say, "No, thank you, I'm all set." That's it. Nobody tells me I can't carry my Bible. Nobody tells me I can't pray. I can do that publicly. I have every liberty in Christianity. And again, that's a blessing, but I ask myself the question, is that really a blessing? I have little to any difficulty in my faith. Most of the trials that we experience today as a church are because of a delinquence and our own choices concerning righteousness and a acceptance of sin. What difficulties have we experienced, and how does that compare to previous generations? And I had to ask myself the question, is this our time to stand? We looked a number of months ago into the life of Esther, and we looked at that message, for such a time as this, who knew that maybe this would be our time? What is going to be asked of you and me? Why are we afraid to have to stand for our beliefs? Why does every church epistle written by Paul discuss dealings with difficulties and trials, and we think that we are somehow exempt from that? Why every epistle that Paul wrote, he had to encourage them to take a stand and to continue on? Why is that not a call to Christians today? Unfortunately, we have had all the lack of persecution. We've had the lack of trials, the lack of any difficulties in our faith. We've lived life. Oh, sure, the cycle of life goes up and down, but concerning our faith, it's been pretty smooth sailing. So this morning, quickly, we'll look at the benefit of going through a trial. Because I believe wholeheartedly that one of the best ways for our faith to grow is to try it, to prove it. Number one, why? Because it proves what is real. It gives us something worth fighting for. Jude 1:3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. To which I stand here this morning and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, because it's something worth fighting for. See, when trial is applied, all of a sudden our faith becomes real. Why? Because we don't fight for things that are fake. We don't fight for lies. We fight for truth. We fight for what is real. Matthew 6:33. Go there. The Bible says this, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What is real? The kingdom of God is real. I was talking with our young adults last night, and I admitted, I don't know what is true right now. There's a lot of things that people are saying, and I don't know. But I know that the Word of God is real. I know the kingdom of God is real. And when we have a trial of our faith, you know where we draw? Where we fall back to? Where we run to? To that which is real. Can I tell you, how many times have you been at workplace and someone's going through a difficulty in their workplace, and what do they do? The one that has maybe been most vocal of giving you a hard time about being a Christian. Hey, when hard times come in their life, where do they go? All of a sudden they come to you and ask for prayer. They ask for advice when their kids are wandering. Hey, when their kid or their son doesn't come home or gets in trouble with the law, all of a sudden they become a little more open. Why? Because it proves what is real. Know what we need in our life? Can I tell you? Listen now. We need our faith to become real. It needs to be real in our life. We need to prove that it's real. We need to take our faith and have it impact the trial and have it stand. As I took the... Where did my balloon go? Okay, down there. When I took the balloon, this is what I have left, and it met the trial, what happened? It revealed. If I take the same pin and I have it impact the pulpit, hopefully the pulpit will withstand the trial. I haven't tested it, but I'm fairly confident it can. Great. In your life, what is it? Is your life just a balloon filled with empty hollowness? Is your faith shallow? Is it not real? That when faced with the impact of the trial, it just explodes. See, trials have a great way of proving to us what is real. Because when we face the trial, you know what? Secondly, it will give us the time to stand. Number one, it proves what is real. Number two, it forces us to take a stand. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. Listen to some of these verses. Just listen. I have a few verses written out here. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Quit there means not quit being a man. It says it means to stand firm. If we could... translate into modern terms, it means man up. Act like a man. Stand strong in your faith. Watch and stand fast in the faith. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11 through 14, it says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." See, when faced with the trial, you know what? It not only reveals what is real or makes us prove what is real. Number two, it makes us stand. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." The next two words, stand therefore. Three times in those four or five verses, it tells us to take a stand. Why does that show up in 1 Corinthians chapter 16? Why does that show up in Ephesians? Why does he tell Timothy to stand? Why in First Peter, does it tell us to stand? Why? Because when faced with a trial, it is no time to cower and run and hide. I love to read about the generations of gone past, the World War II generation. When faced with the difficulty, you know what young Americans did not do? They did not run and hide. No, they ran to the battle. 17-year-old young boys enlisting to go be able to defend what they believed to be true. It just proved what was on the inside. It just gave an outlet for what is on the inside. And I dare say, I just wonder, through this difficulty, are we content with what we have seen on the inside? Or is it time for us to take a stand? Trials in our life will equate an opportunity to stand for what is right. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." I think that's verse 8. Verse 9, "Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Hey, here comes the trial. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. George Mueller said this, "To learn strong faith is to endure great trials." Can I say that again? Listen now. To learn strong faith is to endure great trials. I have learned my faith by standing firm amid severe testings. Faith isn't something that you just talk about. Your faith is what propels you to action. And the trials are the things that prove it. Thirdly, the benefit of the trial. Number one, it proves what is real. Number two, it forces us to take a stand. Number three, now listen, this is our last point. It makes everything get real serious. I was listening to some talk radio a little bit yesterday, and they're talking about health. He said, when you have health, you have everything. But when you don't have health, you really don't have anything. It becomes very important. Can we equate that spiritually? Have you taken your faith lightly? I want to ask you a series of questions, and I want you to answer them in your heart and evaluate where you're at. Kind of like the balloon standing there against the trial. What would change if you went all out, all in for the Lord? What happens if you got serious about your faith? What would change? If you sit there and say, absolutely nothing, I am 100% committed. I am doing everything I possibly can. Well, praise the Lord. But if asked that question, and you look in, you say, I don't know what I would do. Some things would really have to change in my life. Are you content with that? Are you satisfied with that answer? If you were to get serious and just go all in for the cause of Christ, if your faith became real, what would change? All over the world, faith costs the believer something. Why not here? Are we not serious? Are we not holding hands with the world? Is this still just one big game to you? I can make it look. You're deceiving yourself. What if the most important thing to you was the Lord Jesus Christ? What if your faith became sight? What would change? Last verse that we're going to look at, Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, let's look at just a few first verses here and then we'll conclude. Luke chapter 5 and verse 1, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, and which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. When he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And I read those two verses, that verse 4 and verse 5, and I thought, man, that is Christianity today. We're just so peripheral or so shallow with our faith. We're just right by the land there. No harm. No danger. No risk. We're all safe. I am in complete control of my faith. Is that really where God wants us? Because he tells Simon, after he spoke to the people on the land, I understand he moved the boat out into the water a little bit to have a better audience and a better perspective. But then he says this. After he talked to them, he says, launch out into the deep. Hey, deep water's scary water. Deep water, that's why I don't like boats. Because you're not in control. A wind may come and lift that boat up and down. I'm not a big fan of that. I like to be on dry ground. Spiritually speaking, though, have you launched out into the deep? Is your faith serious? Are you all in? That if God doesn't do a miracle or work in your life, it's a complete failure. That God has to intervene in your life or else it's all a mess. If you are in complete control over your faith, I'm telling you, you are standing by the seashore. And you are missing things that God has for you. You're just a balloon. That the minute a trial comes by, it'll explode. Immediately when asked to launch out into the deep and do this and do that, what does Simon do? He makes excuses. No, I've already tried that. I've already done that. That was time ago. And then, so it is in our life. When God asks us to get involved in his work, well, you know, it's not convenient right now. I'm kind of busy, the kids and the work, and we got this and that. And to which I ask ourselves again the question, what happens if you got serious about your faith? Faith grows by exercising it. Will you let your faith cost you something? Oh, no, that's where I draw the line. Then you're going to miss out on an experience with God that he had designed for you. Will you prove your faith? Will you stand for your faith? Will you take it serious? I don't know what's to come for us. Whether things go smoothly or easily, I don't know. But regardless of what our state does, I want my Christianity. We ought to want our Christianity to be constantly proven. That our faith grows. And really the only way is by exercising it. We can't take our faith and just put it on the shelf and say, oh, I'll get to that later. That does not help us. So this morning, how serious are you about the things of God? Are you all in? Are you ready to take a stand? Are you willing to let your faith cost you something? Or do you just want to keep control? Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, our desire is to launch out into the deep. Lord, I know that as you give us that command, you are right there with us. What an encouragement and what a help. Lord, forgive us for having shallow Christianity. Forgive us for not daily taking up our cross and following you. Forgive us of these things. Lord, help us depend on you. Help us to desire you. Help us to seek first the kingdom of God. Help us to contend for the faith. Help us to stand for our faith. Lord, help us to grow. Help us to be an example to this generation of what it means to be a Christian. Lord, I am thankful for the blessings and the past victories of those Christians gone on before. But such a time as this that we too can stand. Lord, help us with these things. Help us that our faith would become sight. Lord, we're thankful for your patience. Lord, we're thankful for how you work in us. God, we're thankful that you would even desire to do anything with us. Lord, we're thankful that you first loved us before we could ever love you. Lord, help us to be content with the fact that it just may cost us something. Lord, reveal to us, lead us, give us wisdom. Lord, I do love you, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You're right, Pastor, that was not a Mother's Day message. No, it was not. But it was a message for all Christians. If I could encourage you here today, whenever you may watch this, maybe it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, maybe Monday, Tuesday, maybe you forgot about it and you got to it Thursday. No problem. But don't be like that balloon, that when faced with a trial, your life explodes. Hey, if you found that that's where you're at, let's fix things. Let's not be just content with having our life just completely obliterated, our faith completely obliterated. Let's rebuild and get serious about the things of God. Love you, church. I want to help you and be a blessing and encouragement. If you need help and direction with this, please contact me. Let's pray together. Let's talk through these things. Say we can't meet. Maybe we could meet. Maybe we can call one another. I do believe cell phones still work. And we can talk. And we can talk through these things. I believe, I hope you didn't turn this off. I believe that God has great plans for you if we would just yield our life to him and just get serious about the things of God. When I study the scriptures and I see what happened when a people got serious about the things of God, and some were added 3,000 and some were added 5,000. Why? Because their faith was proven. There was persecution that made it real to them that day. And so it is time after time after time. Will we allow our faith to become real? God bless you. Have a great afternoon or evening or morning, whenever you watch this. Thankful again for our mothers. We love you all, and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.